League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
To the Gridiron Show. Ollie doing it because Will can't be bothered to do the intro. Anyway, we'll break down all of week 7. Twickenham, there's the Cards at the Ram. There's all the news. There'll be a little bit of nonsense and we reminisce about depleting Will's bar on his birthday last night. This is the Gridiron Show. This is the Gridiron Show. I thought I had enough time to eat some sushi. I didn't. This is the Gridiron Show with touchdown trips, getting you into the game. That's how it goes, isn't it, Will? Something like that?
It is. That'll do, Pig. That'll do. Well done, Ollie. I do like when you do the intro.
Thanks, mate. Sorry.
Always strong work. Always strong. Welcome to the Gridiron Show in association with Touchdown Trips, getting you in the game. And we're just, in 2 weeks' time, Ollie, we'll be touching down in Houston, Texas, baby. Ahead of our 10-day trip stacked with football. Yeah. It's going to be real exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. Welcome to the show. Due to me and Ollie being incredibly busy this week, unfortunately, we weren't able to make it to Rams or Cardinals practice. So we're not bringing you any interviews this week, and it's going to be quite a chilled out show. A little look forward to week 7, a reflection on an incredible matchup on Thursday night. A come from behind win for the Oakland Raiders to send the Chiefs to 4-2 and to basically rescue their own season. With a first and goal, which took four attempts to actually finally make a play, but it happened and it was incredible, and we'll get to that. We're recording this on Saturday rather than the usual Thursday or Friday recording, because Thursday was my birthday. Friday we had a bit of a gathering at mine, as Ollie alluded to, and today everyone's feeling a little bit worse for wear based on the WhatsApp conversations that I'm currently involved in. So thank you for all the lovely birthday wishes I got on Twitter, etc. Ollie sent me a lovely birthday message on Twitter, and then proceeded to delete it 10 minutes later and post an Alan Partridge gift suggesting he didn't give a crap that it was my birthday.
You're welcome, mate.
So, you're welcome. I really appreciate it, buddy. Thanks.
But I got your present, so...
You did, and then you told me my wife was underwhelmed with it, and then when I went outside and asked her, she was like, no, I told him it was amazing. So classic just Ollie trying to stir stuff up.
I just thought she was. I'm really sorry, Sarah. I'm really sorry.
But yeah, it was a really good fun night, and I went up to the bar at the end of the garden to go and rescue my charge cable a few hours ago, having woken up at kind of 1 in the afternoon, having been going till about 5:30 in the morning. And I know I need to clean that bar today, but have you ever worked in a bar or a pub, Ollie?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, after like a big Friday or Saturday night, that when everyone's left and there's that real stale, horrible smell that's there, that's the kind of whiff it's giving off at the moment. So I feel like I want to go and open the doors and let it air for like a couple of hours first.
Yeah.
It was a great night. I really appreciate everyone coming. It was really good fun.
We had a great time. Thanks,
cheers,
mate.
Buddy.
Thanks for your bar. It's a great bar.
It was a great time had by all. Although, I think we need to keep you and Jeremy separate at all times when we're at any kind of social event. This is Jeremy, who me and Ollie went to Poland with, as listeners will remember earlier in the summer, Irish Jeremy. And you and Irish Jeremy decided that there were some snacks. I told people to bring snacks because we had plenty of booze, but like I knew that come like 2 in the morning we'd need food. And actually, 2 in the morning, Ben and Chris, two of our friends, actually got an Uber to the nearest McDonald's / 24-hour Tesco, bought some more alcohol, some more tonic, and went through the McDonald's drive-through before coming back again.
They walked through the McDonald's drive-through.
No, they got a taxi there, yeah, to the 24-hour Tesco. Bought all the stuff they needed, then planned to get a taxi back. But when they got the taxi back, they got the taxi to go through the McDonald's drive-thru.
It's genius. I really hope they got the driver a burger or something.
I really hope so too. But I guess he, you know, got more money out of it because, you know, of the extra time. So, yeah, you know, swings and roundabouts. But yeah, you and Jeremy decided that you'd start basically peer pressuring people into eating caramel chocolate digestive biscuits dipped in Doritos mild salsa.
I would like to say
that salsa, by the way, is literally everywhere. It's on the floor, it's on the chairs, it's on the bar.
Ah, we have a
Keelan had it all over his trousers.
Well, there's the culprit, because Keelan just said today I woke up and it was all over my trousers. So he's the one that's throwing it about all over the shop.
What time did you leave?
About 4:30.
Yeah, blimey. I was falling asleep by 4:30. I know other people spotted it, but I was sat on the sofa and my little eyes were going.
Your tiny eyes.
And bless her, like, Alex was, like, me and Sarah are both tired. Alex, who was meant to be staying but ended up going home in the end, was still really upbeat and really, like, wanted everyone to get up and dance and stuff. And I'm just like, I can't. Alex, just let it go. Just really let it go.
Espresso martinis for you.
Yeah, maybe I should have drunk. Maybe I should have drunk more espresso martinis.
You did a great job, but we did peer pressure.
Not maybe I should have drunk more. All of the limoncello was the worst.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was bad times. Oh God, the limoncello gate. But Jeremy and I decided to get people to eat caramel chocolate digestive dipped into mild Dorito salsa.
You're the worst.
But it wasn't me. Jeremy did it to me, peer pressured me, and then, okay, yeah, then I sort of carried it on. Yeah, okay. I'm out of order.
You're a disgrace.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was a lovely night. Thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, much like the night with the meatloaf video on the train, there are some videos and some photos which will never find their way into the public domain. Should we talk about Thursday Night Football?
Oh, yeah, what a game.
Oakland won crazy drive from their season, completely falling apart after a spectacular comeback 31-30 win over the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday Night Football. It was a game that had literally everything. We had quick strikes to start the first half, to start the first quarter, both teams scoring early on within the first couple of drives. We then had Marshawn Lynch being ejected from the game after an incident where he wasn't even on the field. Lynch hasn't been the best back there, and Jalen Richard had a really, really good game on Thursday night. He had 9 carries for 31 yards, I think, but 4 times through it, he caught the ball through the air. Another 45 yards on top of that. He is the best back there, and him and DeAndre Washington make a bit of an interesting combination. I'd much rather have that than have any Marshawn Lynch in the game. But yeah, to get himself ejected, there was a fracas, but to touch an official is so stupid. No matter whether you think your quarterback was being hit, like whether you think that, you know, whatever happened, you just utter idiocy from Marshawn Lynch. And I feel like the Lynch Raiders experiment is done. I'm so over it. So over it. I think I was over it before it started, but I'm really over it now.
Yeah. I mean, I foresaw that it wouldn't be any good. And no one likes to hear from someone that said, I told you so.
I mean, that's basically what 90% of our podcast is when we get things right. So
Yeah. And we completely forget the times, like me not rating the Philadelphia Eagles, that we get these things wrong. I have actually, I've backpedaled on that. But what he's doing, rushing on like that, I know they can't, the Oakland Raiders can't fine him or dock him a week's wages. That's not how it works in the NFL. But if it was in our football or English football, he would have been fined week's wages. You know, he's costing up a place on the 53 roster. He is being paid a handsome amount by the Raiders to play football. And he won't be able to do it for one game of the season because of a really ridiculous way of getting thrown out, tossed out of that game and then banned for the next one. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. And the Raiders, this is the kind of player that you brought in. You knew that this was just around the corner. So they can't be surprised at it.
We had we asked questions on Twitter, and an interesting one that came in from I'm just trying to find it again now because I've gone into a different page, asking us which teams with a losing record, Adam asked this, have the best chance of making the playoffs. Is there an argument that the Raiders at 3-4, now they're off the four-game losing streak, beating the Kansas City Chiefs and the Broncos having that bizarre loss last weekend, the Chiefs suddenly, okay, they're down to 5-2. I said 4-2, I meant 5-2. Down to 5-2, but, is there some argument the Raiders actually could turn this around here, or did we see enough on Thursday night that said that they're a team who are going to go to the Bills, to the Dolphins, and face the Patriots over their next three games and come out of that strong? Because, and then the Broncos as well, that next four games is really, really decisive for the Raiders this season.
Well, I think what goes in their favour is that, was it the first two games were out on the East Coast and they won them? Or no, they lost it in Washington, they were abjects, but they beat the Tennessee Titans. Anyway, the whole going crossing the continent to go to the East Coast is a bit of a myth this year for the Raiders. I think going over that side, it could help them. And key as well, it's Derek Carr, 417 yards, three touchdowns. At times, he looked like the Derek Carr of old. All right, his completion percentage isn't great, but when Amari Cooper has a day like he had, 11 receptions, 210 yards, two touchdowns, Cook was making some plays. I know Crabtree got that vital touchdown at the end as well. That receiving core suddenly looks really, really jazzy, really snazzy, doesn't it? And
I like really, really snazzy.
Yeah, so
I'm a fan of that.
Thanks, mate. Thanks. Although, I think you have to caveat with it, and the Chiefs went into the game as the worst passing defense, or one of the worst passing defense in the league, and allowing a guy who has looked off color at best this season in Amari Cooper to basically catch all over you was a big problem for the Chiefs. And maybe down the line, could we be seeing a Vikings-esque fall from grace from the Chiefs? I don't know.
I don't think we're going to see anything like that. I think I like their secondary. I still think that they'll come through strong. Alex Smith is still having a good season. I think this was a wild game. I think that Amari Cooper thing is he still had two or three big drops in this game despite having a big game. It reminded me of that AJ Green game for the Bengals a couple of weeks ago where the stat line looks really impressive, but actually he was responsible for three turnovers on that day, which doesn't necessarily rank up on the stat sheet. And this, even though there were drops rather than turnovers, the Raiders could have won this game potentially more handily if Amari Cooper was the playmaker we saw him to be in year one or year two. But I still think Alex Smith looks good. Kareem Hunt continues to be incredibly impressive. I don't think the Chiefs have any problems. That's why I still think they're still my favourites to win the division by a country mile at the moment. Just looking through the rest of the standings based on Adam's question, there are a couple of other teams that jump out at me other than the Raiders. I think the 2-3 Bengals, with the Ravens at 3-3, and I expect they'll lose this weekend. We'll get into that. Obviously, the Steelers at 4-2. Okay, they look great against the Chiefs, but before that, haven't looked particularly impressive. So I still think the AFC North is up for grabs. Do you know what? The 2-4 Colts, if they beat the Jags today and then get Andrew Luck back in a couple of weeks, the AFC South has been so abject and had so many issues with injuries that's another potential shout. I think when the Titans, Marcus Mariota's back full and fit, and if they get Derrick Henry the ball more, I think they'll be a better team. The Cowboys at 2-3, you'd argue, but with the Eagles as strong as they've been, it would have to be as a wild card, I suspect, at this point. And then the Buccaneers. I mean, the Buccaneers win this weekend. They go to 3-3. The NFC South is looking strong, but you couldn't write them off. I think the big obvious one for me is the Bengals. That's the one that I think could potentially turn this around, have the talent to turn this around. It's not being very well coached at the moment. But the AFC North, as bad as it's been, that's the one that screams out to me a little bit.
Not the Chargers? Or the Chargers, because they've got 16 away games, throughout the season. you know, their own three at home, or, you know, home with air quotes. So I think had they been in San Diego, probably wouldn't have that record anyway. But had they had an actual home field with an advantage, their roster is pretty talented. So, do you know what? I'm going to go Chargers. I like the Chargers.
All right. Fine. I'm good with it. Shall we go through? We've had quite a few questions in. Shall we go through the questions and use those as our launch pad to talk about the games? And then...
Do you know what? I like it when we do that. Yeah. Let's do that way.
Yeah. Nice. Great. I mean, that will only cover about three or four games, but, you know, it helps us a little bit. Well, let's start off with, I'm going to have you track the games because we need to make sure that we do cover all of the games. Otherwise, we get in trouble with, you know, angry Bucks fans that we don't talk enough about them or something. Let's start off with the Philadelphia Eagles, because Dave Cheeseman gets in touch at Cheesy Palace. It's just a great Twitter handle. How far can the Eagles go this season? Big test for us in the next three games. Washington, the 49ers, then the Broncos. I like that people are including the 49ers when they talk about potential tough schedules. It is Monday Night Football this week. Washington traveling to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. Already the home and home in this game. It's funny that week seven, we're already seeing these two game series completed. The Eagles attempting to take a commanding three game lead in the NFC East. They've won four in a row and will complete the sweep over Washington after that 30-17 win earlier in the season. The last two wins over the Chargers and over Carolina, who admittedly the Chargers now, we've seen them win the last two on the bounce, look more impressive than they had done. And Carolina we like a lot, but they've both been very... And we're yet to see the Eagles have that really impressive beatdown of a team. I think they've looked good on all phases of the ball. I think they're great in the trenches, and that's why I really like the Eagles this year. But we need them to have that game where they really... You know, the statement game that makes them look like a really great team. I don't know if that's coming Monday against Washington, because I think Washington are in a good side and will fancy themselves to maybe go and get a bit of an upset.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. They haven't put out that performance, but it's always said that if you don't play well but you still get the wins, then that's the hallmark of a good side. And in fits and bursts, they are playing well. And on one day, it may be the receivers... the pick up the slack, or it will be LeGarrette Blount in the backfield. The constant is that there hasn't been that fabled drop off in form or finding out from Carson Wentz, and he has been consistently very good throughout the season. And keep him healthy, keep him upright with Zach Ertz, who had a real big game last week, then, you know, the Eagles could... Perhaps against Washington, that would be the statement win. Just get the win. Get the W, as George W. would say. Just get it, and then they could move on and start really stringing some good performances together. But Washington, haven't they got a defensive lineman go out who has been really crucial? The guy's name escapes me, but he had a great game against the Raiders on Sunday Night Football that you and I watched together on Talk Sport. So without him and without the pressure that he was getting to the quarterback,
you mean Jonathan Allen?
That's the one. Yeah. Yeah, thanks, buddy.
I like letting you go dangle a little bit. Yeah, Jonathan Allen has been really key for them. He's been a great pick and has been massive for them this year. And actually, you're absolutely right. That could be a big miss, particularly against the Eagles. Interesting to find out. Do we know from an Eagles perspective whether or not they're going to be fully fit this week? Because I know they had obviously Lane Johnson missing from last week's game, so that obviously has potential for there to be a problem in that game. But if he's back and they've not got Jonathan Allen, that's a really interesting point. Mm-hmm. And actually, this is what's interesting about this game overall. Maybe in a way, one for the purist, but you've got between these two teams, you've got two very good offensive lines performing above the level I think we expected.
Yeah.
Your two very good defensive fronts. In Washington's case, maybe performing a little better than expected. The Eagles, I think we liked them last year as well. And then they've just gone and added talent to that. So this could be a really gritty, hard-fought football game. We could see some really interesting play designs and play calls from Jay Gruden in particular. I think that would be really interesting to see. In fact, that's a matchup I'm excited to see. Jay running that offense that, you know, has sprung the likes of the Kyle Shanahans and the Sean McVays of this world, going up against the Eagles' defense and what they offer with their front, the different looks, the different blitz packages. We'll get on to something really interesting about the Vikings that Greg Rosenthal was saying about on the Around the NFL podcast that we'll get to in a little while, about how their defense basically has two packages. Their 11 starters have all been there for 3+ years. They don't do anything fancy. They just do everything really well. Mm. Whereas the Eagles, it's like totally the other end of it. They have so many substitutions and changes and formation changes, but it's really great to watch when they confuse a good offense. And yeah, I think this is a game I'm really excited about. From the Eagles' perspective, if they come through these next three games 2-1, and so they go out to 7-2, then for me, they're probably a nailed-on playoff team.
Yeah, and they'd take that all day long. From this point onwards, Eagles fans, I'm sure, would take that all day long. I think it's quite good that they're taking on Washington, and what, 10 days since playing Carolina? 11 days? Something like that. Because Washington have a very similar back.
Yeah, they're essentially getting a Monday night football game off the back of Thursday, actually. I didn't really think about it, but yeah, it's almost like an extra bye week.
It almost is. And you get the chance to get a little healthier. You get a chance to scheme and prepare totally for what Washington are going to do. And similarly, Washington's offense is kind of similar-ish to Carolina's. You've got Chris Thompson back there as the third down guy, who has actually been taking a lot of passing downs as well. And very similar to Christian McCaffrey. So they won't have to change too much in trying to scheme for him, because Thompson has been fantastic so far, both in the passing game and also in the rushing game as well.
So to finally actually answer Dave Cheeseman's question, I think the Eagles can go to the Super Bowl this year. getting hysterical. NFL fan Wales asks us, and this is a massive game. We're in no way going in the usual
Who are you
time order
on,
here.
Who are you picking on the Gridiron Predictor game?
Oh, I'll be taking the Eagles.
Yeah, I think I took the Eagles, yeah.
Patriots hosting the Falcons in a Super Bowl rematch on Sunday Night Football. What a game.
Yeah, this is great.
What a game.
This is great.
NFL fan Wales asks, do you think the Patriots can turn around their defense? Now, I know that Matt Sherry will probably listen to this. I hope Matt Sherry will at least download it. That's the main thing. The situation with the Patriots defense is that it does this every year, where it starts off trying to figure itself out. And you've seen it over the course of the year, where they move from a more kind of zone scheme to a more man scheme. But actually, going up against the Falcons offense this year, which hasn't fired in the way it did under Kyle Shanahan, but has still shown some interesting wrinkles at times. And it's actually been more on Matt Ryan, which is a shame, missing some throws that caused them some problems in those two losses to the two AFC East teams at home. But actually, I think what's going to be interesting to see how Belichick schemes for this game, and we've seen it a couple of times. We saw the Seahawks do it to the Rams. When you've got teams who run these really intricate offenses where you can have guys coming out of the backfield, you'll run like 22 and 21 personnel packages. We've got two tight ends in, two running backs in. You know, when you're doing all this other different stuff, actually a zone defense tends to work better against that, because when you've got your man-to-man assignment, that's when they exploit it. That's when they move a fullback in transition out to a wide out position and a man goes with him, so you can see that you've got a mismatch with the linebacker on somebody, and then you make a completion. And so I think this weekend actually could be the Patriots could impress on defense more than we're expecting, because I think that this matchup potentially suits them. Now, their weakness at linebacker, as it had been in previous weeks, I thought they showed up really well against the Jets, particularly in the second half. Carl Van Noy had a couple of big plays. Donta Hightower should be kind of back to full health at this point. It'd be interesting to see what's happened in the corner situation, whether or not they're going to have everyone back and fully fit this weekend, because I think that has also made a massive impact. Stephon Gilmore has already been ruled out Eric Rowe, it looks like, I'm just getting back over this, blimey, Eric Rowe also ruled out. So they're going to be missing two of their starting three corners for the second straight week. And the Jets managed to move the ball on the Patriots for a good chunk of the game. So this is fascinating to see how the Falcons, going up against the worst defense in the NFL statistically over the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season, if they can really exploit those weaknesses, having had such a poor year so far. But you just think the Patriots, under the lights, at home, last week wasn't the statement win they needed. This weekend could be.
1-2 at home.
1-2 at home.
They're 1-2 at home, which, okay, 3-0 on the road. 1-2 at Foxborough, and they lost under the lights the opening game of the season against the Chiefs. So, of course, everyone remembers that. So this Foxborough being a fortress is a bit of a myth, especially this season. And we'll see what, obviously, we'll see what happens on Sunday Night Football. But really interesting what you're talking about, the two of the three starting cornerbacks going out. Julio Jones, how many touchdowns off the top of your head do you think he's scored this season?
Julio Jones?
Yeah.
Has he got a score yet?
He hasn't got a score yet, which is, I mean, that's incredible to think.
This is one thing, and I think they maybe over-scheme it and overthink it. And yes, they've got a couple of decent tight ends there, particularly in Austin Hooper, but I don't understand why, when you're in the red zone, they never target Julio Jones. They target Taylor Gabriel in the red zone, mm-hmm. who is about 4 or 5 inches shorter than Julio Jones, doesn't have the same vertical leap. So, like, Julio Jones is the kind of guy who, in coverage, yes, he's a speedster, and yes, he can get downfield, and he can make those big plays, but actually, his toughness in making catches under duress is really underrated, and I'd like to see them going to him in the red zone more. The fact that they've got a pair of great backs there is part of, you know, they tend to punch in touchdowns a lot of the time. Matt Ryan will never have the flashiest of touchdown throwing numbers. He's never going to have that kind of Peyton Manning 50 touchdown season because they've got that Freeman Coleman pairing in the backfield. But yeah, I it's a fascinating point, and I'd like to see Julio Jones have a bit of a breakout this weekend. Patriots on offense, I mean, Brady still played absolutely lights out in the second half last weekend, and still, despite all of the injuries they've had on offense, you know, Chris Hogan's having a good season, Brandon Cook's having a great season, a couple of those big long touchdown passes saving them, and the matchup is just, it's mouthwatering. Sunday Night Football is going to be absolutely brilliant this week, and I think I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons.
I've taken the Falcons as well. Yeah. I think
I've probably made a horrible mistake there.
Revenge,
but you know,
is
what?
I think revenge will play a big part of this. Matt Ryan, he's 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions so far this season.
Well, they gave up that big lead last weekend.
Yeah.
And then obviously we all know what happened in the Super Bowl with the 28-3. You know, the mental errors could be their biggest problem.
When Julio goes big, and he's due a big game, he was not quite fully fit last week. I think he's getting back to or closer to full fitness this week. Julio Jones, I predict, will have a massive game, couple of touchdowns, 200 yards, something like that, and the Patriots will get steamrolled, I think.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Let's roll back ourselves a little bit and let's head to Twickenham, 6 p.m. kickoff this Sunday. Don't worry, it's half term. They're West Coast teams. The 6 p.m. kickoff's fine. No complaints for that at all. Famringer tweet saying, if Twickenham games are a success again, do you think a long-term franchise would be better suited there than to the new Spurs stadium? I don't, because the fact is with Twickenham, they had to, for the last year's games, knock through two changing rooms into one and agree with the RFU that they'd rebuild that wall after the game.
Wow.
Ready for the autumn internationals 2 weeks later. That's like Twickenham. I love Twickenham, and I know that there's travel issues, and there are obviously going to be travel issues with Spurs because, you know, anyone who have been to White Hart Lane previously knows about how difficult it is to get there from like a tube and train perspective. But I don't want to hear any of that nonsense this weekend. Twickenham is a great stadium for live sport because it's an older stadium and it's been built up over time. You get that high rake to the seats. You get the feeling that you're closer to the turf. Like, I just think it has that much better atmosphere. Wembley feels great because it's new and the seats are lovely and comfortable, and it's, you know, it feels like a little bourgeois day out. But Twickenham is proper sports. It feels like that kind of stadium. However, it's just a bit too kind of outdated to fit that. And Spurs are putting in the extra dressing rooms. They're putting in the extra pitch. I can't see if a franchise came here, it would go anywhere else. So I'm really excited because not only are we getting to see a game at Twickenham, which is one of my favourite stadiums to watch sport in, but we're getting to see a Cardinals team coming off their best performance of the season. And don't let Ryan Fitzmagic's 27 garbage time fourth quarter points fool you. The Cardinals were great last weekend. Going up against a Rams team who at 4-2 are really, really impressing. We get to see Todd Gurley. We get to maybe see Adrian Peterson carry the ball more than five. The Rams' run defense is really lowly ranked, even though on paper it's great. Mm. But Aaron Donald was phenomenal last weekend for the Rams at getting to the quarterback and creating that middle pressure. We get to see a Hall of Fame wide receiver in Larry Fitzgerald, an argument for him to be top three all time we had on the NFL Sunday Night Live on TalkSport a couple of weeks ago. He's definitely top five all time in my thoughts. This is going to be, in theory, a great game of football. Now, we know we don't know what to expect from the NFL this season. The Giants have proved that to us. You know, the Jags have proved that to us week in, week out by being terrible when we expect them to be good and then being great when we expect them to be terrible. Like, every week we're stunned by stuff, but I would be surprised if this wasn't a really fun game of football on Sunday.
Oh, 100%. I'm totally with you. I can't disagree with anything that you said there. Going to Twickenham is far more like going to, as a game experience, it's far more like going to a game in the States. And it gets a bad rap from people here because they're comparing it to going to Wembley, where the facilities are all nice and new. And as you said, all shiny. But if you want an authentic, as authentic as you can get experience, and with everything that they do with the tailgating outside the ground as well, Twickenham is 100% that. I know Greg Rosenthal, when he was over here last year, said it was like going to an old school game where the stadium is in the middle of the city. Okay, it's not in the middle of the city, but it's residential as you walk up from the train station. You walk up to the stadium. It's a great ground, great for international rugby, great for club rugby, and I think it's great for NFL. However, you wouldn't see a team using it, an NFL side using it, one for all of the reasons that you said, Will, but also there are a certain amount of large-scale events that Twickenham are allowed to put on because of the housing associations and agreements with that. So an extra three or four games, I don't think it would be feasible. But the game itself, yeah, I mean, Jared Goff has been a bit of a revelation so far this year. Okay, they're playing to his strengths, but the player that I'm most looking forward to is Todd Gurley, who is not looking like the Todd Gurley that won the Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2015-2016. Not like the Todd Gurley of last season, where he was gunky, or a bit more gunky. He's looking like a really good dual threat in the passing game and on the ground player, and I'm really, really looking forward to seeing him.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that. I'm really excited to see the Rams defense. I mentioned it already, yeah. But Aaron Donald, incredible. Alec Ogletree, Robert Quinn, both having great seasons this year. I'm all in on the Rams. I love a bit of Son of Burma. I love a bit of Wade Phillips. So yeah, really, really excited for this one. I'm going. It's weird. The Cardinals just coming off that bit of momentum, and actually I've seen a lot more action from Cardinals fans than Rams fans. I'm worried this is going to feel more like a Cards home game this weekend. I hope that people will get behind the home team if they're a neutral fan, because I think that's what you should do, because the Rams have had to give up a home game to come here. Did you actually see Todd Gurley's comments about saying...
Remind me.
That he essentially said, it's a 45-minute flight for us to get to Arizona. Instead, we've had to travel, well, if we'd not been in the East Coast last week, we'd have to travel what is the equivalent of 13 hours. I don't see the point, basically. I think it's really interesting. It's raised that question of, you know, how happy players and coaches are with the London games. And there was a really kind of... not interesting article in terms of its quality, but a kind of blog that I read, and I'm not going to call the person out because I feel a bit bad doing that, but it was presented as news, and it was much more of an opinion piece than it was news, that Todd Gurley had a point, basically. This was coming from a British writer, but then read into a lot of other stuff, who else was at the podium? There was someone like Robert Quinn or somebody, or Michael Brock, as it was, who kind of basically suggested that the fans weren't happy. I was like, well, yeah, what fans, mate? You've got to fill your stadium first before you start bringing us that.
100%.
But he didn't actually say it. He kind of insinuated it, and then this writer went, but we could all read between the lines, and let's be honest, it's what we all already know, or something. And you're just like, this person's coming with their opinion already set and not actually listening to what people are saying and not taking a kind of metered view of it. It annoyed me a little bit, but what it made me realize overall is, actually, I think we speak to a lot of these players, a lot of these coaches when they come over, and I think many are genuine about their positive feelings about the games in London. And it's weird that Jared Goff came out and said something in his press conference saying about, like, the fans not cheering in the right moments and stuff like that. Basically, like that old thing from when the games were first over here. Oh, look at the British fans cheering at the kicks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the reason for that, Jared, is last year you were playing the New York Giants, one of the most popular teams in this country. And it's kind of, the Giants are always underrated when we talk about the most popular teams, because everyone looks back at those 80s teams, the Bears, the Dolphins, the 49ers, who were popular from the first time round. And then this time round, they look at the Patriots, more and more so the Seahawks over recent seasons, because success, when new fans come to a sport, the teams that are successful are the teams they latch onto, because they see them in the Super Bowl, they see them in the playoffs. I don't blame people for that at all. But let's not forget, the Giants have won two Super Bowls in the time that we've been having games in London.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of Giants fans out there, and it was a predominantly Giants crowd at Twickenham last year. I would really like to see the home fans prove Jared Goff wrong and be quiet when the Rams are on offense, and be louder when they're on defense, and just kind of shut people up a little bit, to be honest.
I'm with you, mate.
Let's make this a home Rams game, even though I really like the Cardinals and BA and everyone else involved.
Yeah, I'm going the Cardinals. But I'm with you in spirit.
Fill the trolley with your favourite brands on rollback at Asda. A 38-pack of Fairy Non-Bio Capsules was £8.50, now £5.75. And Lenor Gold Fabric Conditioner was £4, now £2.50. Big brands, small prices. Don't compromise. Asda. Save money, live better. Selected stores subject to availability. Lenor 1.925 litres. Ends 18th of March.
Shall we rock through the rest of the 6 o'clock kickoffs? There are a few tasty games in here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's start off with, I'm just going to go in whatever order this website has decided to do them in, which I think is alphabetical. I thought was alphabetical. And then randomly they had Saints after Titans. So, mate, this is very confusing. Anyway, let's go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Buffalo Bills in Orchard Park. The Buccaneers woeful away from home this season so far, going up against a really tough Bills defense, and we still don't know what the latest is on Jameis Winston.
I thought he said he was going to suit up.
Jameis Winston, he was full go on Friday and said he would start. But what is full go? What is Jameis Winston is a guy who I think that his decision making is his biggest problem, but actually is a better pocket quarterback overall than people rate him. And they always talk about what he can do with his legs. And yes, he can make those plays. But if Winston isn't feeling particularly, that he can move and get out of the pocket and roll out and use play action and do all those things that we know these quarterbacks do to take some of the pressure off them and help get guys open, if he's a bit too static, the Bills' defense is good enough to take advantage of that. And that's the concern for me. And I think the Bucs are going to fall to 2-4 this weekend. And the Bills are going to be a real surprise through 7 weeks of the season.
I'm with you. They had a bye last week, didn't they? Yeah, I think so. Had a bye last week. Hope they did. Tampa Bay, all right, it was very gunky, 27 points or however many it was from Ryan Fitzmagic. But
The Bills defense are the best scoring defense in the NFL right now.
There we go.
Averaging 14.8 points per game. They could do with upping their takeaways a little bit. And I like Tyrod as well. I'm all in on the Bills. I really am all in on the Bills for this one.
Yeah, LeSean McCoy's looked pretty good.
And we still don't know what's going to happen with Kwon Alexander as well, whether he's going to be back. And those linebackers were missed massively past couple of weeks. Yeah, I'm all in on the Bills.
I'm in on the Bills.
The Baltimore Ravens traveled to face the Minnesota Vikings. This was that really interesting thing I was saying earlier that Greg Rosenthal was talking about. They only run two packages on defense on 96% of their plays. They have their 11 starters have all been with the team at least for the last 3 years. Mike Zimmer, who is one of the most old school coaches in the NFL, has gone full old school on this Vikings defense, and I'm loving what I'm seeing from it. They're at home, which is a big thing for them. They are about to have the biggest quarterback controversy in the NFL with three guys all getting fit around week 10 by the feeling of it. But Case Keenum has done enough. Like, the fact is Case Keenum has, it's not, he's not Jacoby Brissetted it. He's not, you know, played so well that he'd go, oh, I think he'd start on six or seven NFL teams. But Case Keenum has proved himself to be a more than capable backup, a top end backup with this run of three or four games, because he's run the offense well. He's run the same offense that Sam Bradford's running, not as efficiently as we saw Bradford run it when he was fully fit, but at a high enough level. And actually, yes, the Ravens defense is a tough one when they're good, but the Ravens offense is garbage.
Oh,
like Flacco is dreadful.
Yeah, absolutely awful. Twice as many interceptions as he's got touchdowns so far this year. That's insane for a guy that's won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
The one that won the Super Bowl, the season that he backed himself, won the Super Bowl, and then got the biggest contract in NFL history, it was at the time. I really think that what's interesting, Baltimore are allowing a lot of running yards at the moment, and it comes back to that same question. I feel like we talk about Brandon Williams more on this show than we do any other player in the NFL at the moment. But if Brandon Williams is still missing with this foot injury, which he's not expected to be this weekend, he was practicing all week, had a couple of limiteds, but he was practicing all week, so Brandon Williams could be back. But Jarrett McKinnon ran the ball really well against the Packers. And they can rotate Latavius Murray in, and we all know how I feel about Latavius Murray. But
Latavius Murray, again, I know it's against a bit of a shot Packers team, but looked pretty good as well running the ball.
He's a good one-cut back, Murray. There's a potential for the Vikings to run the ball for 120, 130 yards, 140 yards, something in this game. And then Case Keenum just needs a couple of hundred in the air, and that would be more than enough to, you know, put 21 to 28 points up, and that'd be more than enough to beat the Ravens team, in theory, who are terrible on offense. So I'm taking the Vikings.
I'm also taking the Vikings. I think what's interesting is that Case Keenum has managed to find or get the best out of, weirdly, a player like Adam Thielen. Kyle Rudolph as well is playing really well. But Adam Thielen, really enjoy watching him play. He manages to, the ball seems to follow him around, doesn't it? And he's really great to watch. He's got good hands, good feet as well. You know, catching the ball, tiptoes still in bounds. I really like watching him play. Stephon Diggs, I'm not sure whether Stephon Diggs is going to come back or not this week, but if he does, then you've got two really, really nice wide receivers backed up by Kyle Rudolph. And then we saw Laquan Treadmill last week as well. So the Minnesota are doing.
So it's no Diggs this weekend.
No Diggs. Expect more from Laquan Treadmill.
Let's go Jags Colts next at Lucas Oil Stadium. Jags at 3-3, Colts at 2-4, but it's the Jags on the road, so they should win this one, right?
I mean, yeah, that's how it works.
Why are they so bad in Florida?
It's weird, isn't it? It's so weird.
It's like they're setting up to suggest to everyone they should move.
Maybe they should. Where could they go? I know, if it's the NFL, they'll probably put them in Los Angeles. Yeah.
the Colts, actually, I thought they played well against the Titans. They lost 36-22, but the they built a lead and then they couldn't maintain it, and then there were some bad coaching decisions on the final drive. The way they went for it on fourth and one, etc., was poor. You've got a tank at quarterback and you're not running the ball up the gut. You've got Frank Gore in the backfield, you're not running the ball up the gut. They didn't run Marlon Mack anywhere near enough on Monday. They made silly mistakes on offense, and yes, it's a two touchdown loss, but thanks to that huge Derrick Henry run at the end. So the Colts have been I know it's weird to say for a 2-4 team, but a 2-4 team who we now, Andrew Luck's had a setback in practice. We might be seeing a whole season of Jacoby Brissett. The Colts, as a 2-4 team, have been better than I thought they were going to be. I just think the Jags defense should be able to take care of them this weekend. They should be good enough. And if Leonard Fournette is full go, then I foresee no huge problem for the Jags.
Big if that, though, Leonard Fournette. He went out of the game, but then briefly came back. Wasn't it an ankle injury or something like that?
He keeps insisting he's going to play this weekend, but he hasn't practiced at all. Now, I always feel like a running back is a player who actually doesn't need to practice. I know that sounds ridiculous, but we've seen good running back performances from players who have missed 4 out of 5 days of training. Maybe sitting out the whole week is too much. Can Chris Ivory do it? I'm really, really torn on this. This is becoming a real coin flip game in my head.
What do you think? A couple of questions.
Maybe we get an amazing Bortles game.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's the only thing that we know for sure will not happen.
You mean in the same way we knew for sure that the New York Giants, with the worst running offense, no wide receivers, and a defense that was giving up a lot of yards, despite meant to be good on paper, was definitely going to lose to the Broncos?
Yeah, exactly that. Anyway, moving on. No, what do you think of one? Why are they? I want to pick your brains on this about their running game. Frank Gore is Frank Gore. Nothing to say about him. Why aren't they using Marlon Mack more? And isn't it very similar to?
I literally can't answer that question. Like, I love Frank Gore, and you know, I want him to get that extra 800 yards that put him fourth on the all-time rushing list. And I think he's an all-time great running back, and I think he should be going to the Hall of Fame. I just don't know. Marlon Mack's look really impressive, and I know they're trying to bring him in. There's this thing about, you know, with Andrew Luck. Is there any point if, say, week 11, he declares himself ready to play, or maybe later than that, maybe week 12 or 13, and their season, they're already 4-8 or whatever they'd be at that point. No chance of going to the playoffs. There's an argument for just sitting him the whole season and having him fully fit for the next offseason.
Whoa. There may be a chance of going to the playoffs if they're 4-8 in that division.
they finish 8-8, maybe. Maybe if they finish with three divisional games, it could happen. You know, is there an argument with Marlon Mack? They're just trying to introduce him slowly to the game. Like, know that Frank Gore, you know, just get the last wear off the tread of the tires that is Frank Gore, and have Marlon Mack as somebody who can be explosive later in the season. I'm trying to justify a terrible decision here.
Where I'm going with it really is, let's leave Frank Gore in the game, and instead of using Robert Turbin, who isn't the best NFL player on the planet, but you know, as soon as Robert Turbin comes into the game, he's either going to get a dump off or he's going to run it. It's that obvious showing your hand thing that a lot of teams do. We saw it with the Carolina Panthers, that every time Jonathan Stewart's in the game, they know the ball's going to go to Jonathan Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
So just get away from showing your hand too early and use Marlon Mack, who's looked really, really shifty and really good. Just please, let's use him. I want to see the best players on the field. That's my plea to you, Pagano.
That's fair. I'm going to take the Jags because they're on the road and that's where they win, but I think this is the most coin flippy of games that we've come across so far this week, including Patriots Falcons.
I think I've taken the Jags as well.
Right, Jets Dolphins in Miami. This is really are either of these teams for real game? I think the Dolphins defense might be for real. I still don't know about J.H.I. I know he had a big game last weekend, but he just feels too much like one of those players to me who has 4 or 5 big games a season, but isn't. He's the opposite of Frank Gore, who grinds out 80, 90 yards every week, no matter what. J.H.I. is the sort of player who, if he's not, game flow's not going his way, and he's struggling to get past the first tier. I know he's got some explosiveness, but he's a guy who you need to be able to get past the first tier to display that. He has too many like 40-yard games in a season, and then three 200-yard games, and everyone's like, "Oh, look at his stats overall; they look great." And the Jets defense has been good. Jets offense managed to move the ball against the Patriots. Yeah. I think this could be I've said this a few times this season. This could be quite a grotty game, quite a low-scoring game, and I think I'm going to take the Dolphins defense to do it at home, but I don't like it.
It feels like if the Jets were playing playing the Dolphins who didn't have Jay Cutler, this could be a really high-scoring game. But I think because Jay Cutler's playing, he brings Josh McCown down to his level. This is my prediction. And I think we've seen that in a lot of other games with the Dolphins. We saw it with the Saints. Okay, the Saints beat them and put a bagel on them. But it wasn't fluid. It wasn't a game with amazing plays. That's because I think Drew Brees was affected by Jay Cutler's negativity, and it brought Drew Brees down. And I think the same could happen here.
I like the idea that first ballot future Hall of Famer, the man with the most 5,000-yard seasons by a country mile, was just brought down from 50 yards away by Jay Cutler being super negative.
I really think it is. There's that negative glare coming across from the opposite sideline, and it's Jay Cutler. You know how he holds his collar with his arms out in front of him?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And he's there, and there's this stench of failure around him, and I think it's affecting everybody. It's affected Jay Ajayi.
We've talked too much about this game.
Yeah, Let's move on.
I'm
going to take the Jets.
I'll tell you the other reason I'm not taking the Jets. Mohammed Wilkerson sat out practice on Friday.
I'm taking the Dolphins.
And that means Jay Ajayi might have a really good day, considering that. Mitchell Trubisky going up against the Panthers in Soldier Field. Chicago Bears 2-4, the Panthers at 4-2. Panthers, it was a tough, tough loss against the Eagles for them. But what we did see was Julius Peppers playing like 25-year-old Julius Peppers. And I think I think Mitch Trubisky might have a tough day against the Carolina Panthers defense. They're only 3-point favourites, the Panthers, which I think is amazing. Maybe it's because they're going on the road or they've not had big, big wins this season. But I'm taking the Panthers, and I think I'm taking the Panthers by a distance as well. Sorry, Chicago.
I'm with you on that. I always bet against Chicago. I never bet, but I always go against Chicago. I am taking the Panthers again with you. Big, big margin. I think this could be the day, and I keep saying it, could be the day that Christian McCaffrey finally has a monster game.
That's the only thing for me, is that you've got Carolina have got a really stout front, and Jordan Howard, he carried the ball 36 times last week. How's that going to work out? That's what makes me feel a little bit tighter on it. The Panthers have the fifth best rush defense in the league, but actually the Bears haven't been terrible against the run, and Panthers have been unable to run the ball. Maybe I'm talking myself into this being a tight game than I thought it was going to be, but that always happens when I talk too long. So I'm taking the Panthers. Titans, Browns.
Oh, no. Is it Thursday night? It feels like this should be on a Thursday night.
Titans, Browns. I mean, I'm just going to take the Titans to win because I think the Browns might be going 0-16.
Whoa.
No, I don't.
When are they playing the 49ers?
Yeah, God, if that is happening this season, I actually don't know if that's happening this season.
Wooden spoon bowl.
Yeah, the number one overall pick bowl. Just to start seeing people throwing interceptions on purpose and punting out of the back of their own end zones to give the other teams touchback. It's just like, I just can't, you know, I can't envision.
It'd be great if it was the last game of the season for both teams and they're both 0-15. And then that game is is for the number one draft pick, and both take. I mean, it's so fanciful, and it's not happening. But you know, I like it.
Titans run game too much in this. Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray have produced 600 and I'm just doing the maths quickly. 631 running yards between the two of them already this season. Four touchdowns, and those are split 318, 313, and two touchdowns apiece. Plus, Marcus Mariota's rush for three touchdowns. I just like their running game too much. And I think that'll give the Browns some problems, and I think the Titans will win.
Mariota didn't really move many paces or any paces at all in the game last week. Who did they play last week? Anyway, he was a pure pocket guy because of that hamstring issue. Depending on how much that's fixed, we could see him moving more, but he looked really good. But one key thing is Myles Garrett, his reps are going up. He had a sack of his first ever NFL play, which is pretty cool. And if Mariota isn't moving that well, the offensive line of the Titans hasn't been as great as everyone thought it would be, especially Peter King.
Oh, it's had a couple of good games. It's just had a couple of bad games as well.
I
love them tackles.
Oh, Titans. I'm going to go the Browns.
Wow.
I'm picking Kaiser's back in. I'm going Browns. Go Browns.
Oh, God. Did you do that just to set up so that you could justify picking the Packers as well?
I'm not sure whether I can. I don't know whether I can pick the Packers. I really.
The 3-2 Saints at the 4-2 Packers at Lambeau Field. Going to be a very, very rare occasion where Green Bay are not favoured at home. Aaron Rodgers, who we're hearing now could be back in December,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, December 17th, whatever game that is for the Packers.
All right, let's do a little bit of fantasy forward looking here, not fantasy football, but about just looking forward to the schedule over that period of time. So we're talking Saints home, Lions home.
I think win because you're coming off a bye, enough time to prepare for the Lions. Get Hundley totally au fait with everything that's going on. I say that's a win.
Bears on the road.
I think that could be a defeat.
Ravens at home.
That's a win.
Steelers on the road.
That's a defeat.
Bucks at home.
Win.
So we've got you going 3-3 so far.
Yeah.
Why is... Damn Google. So this is why we should do some preparation for
Bucks,
the show.
Bucks at home. Then they're away at the Browns. Packers win. Then
yeah.
At the Panthers. Packers defeat. So that's 4-4. Vikings at home.
And then in theory, Rodgers is back, right?
Yeah.
This is it. I just wanted to go up until Rodgers is back. In fact, Rodgers is back for that Panthers game. So
maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Let's say he's not. Let's say he's back a week later.
Yeah, against
so
the
what
Vikings,
we're saying,
yeah.
What we're saying is against though through the next eight, you're hoping they'll go 4-4.
Yeah.
Which would have them 8-6 for the season with two games left to play with Aaron Rodgers back. Maybe the Packers season isn't done.
There we go.
Have I just installed a horrendous amount of false hope in you?
Yeah. Why are you doing this to me, man? Oh, my God.
I think that they're the issue for them this weekend, and the reason that I do fancy the Saints is that now that Adrian Peterson's gone, we saw a much clearer running game from the Saints last weekend.
Yeah.
Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, 185 scrimmage yards between them in the per game is the average, which is fantastic. 44 touches and 237 yards last weekend. And we saw what Jerick McKinnon did for the Vikings last weekend. And this is the reason I said about Jerick McKinnon looking impressive last weekend was something that noted is that Jerick McKinnon's one of those players who, with Peterson when he went down, with all the problems that the Vikings have had at running back, with quarterback as well, because the theory is quarterback goes out, you lean on the run game more. I've picked up Jerick McKinnon in fantasy leagues every season for the last 3 years, and like on the waivers, and he is disappointed every single time he's come in. Never showed any real consistency. So, of course, this time round, I decided to go for Latavius Murray over Jerick McKinnon, and he was really impressive. The point being is that I just think that if Jerick McKinnon is gashing your run defense, I think that the Saints will have even more fun with that. And then you have to add the Brett Hundley player into it.
Yeah. Another key thing is, I think, on the Wednesday practice report, or injury report, Green Bay had 15 players on that injury report.
Wow.
The Saints had
That's
two.
That's crazy.
The Saints That's had crazy. Two. So Green Bay are more than banged up. Their leader is gone.
The tackles are both off the injury report.
So they're back. They're off now. Okay.
Yeah. Lane Taylor is doubtful, but the tackles are both ready to go. So, come on. Some positivity. You're going to lose, but some positivity.
Thanks, mate.
I'm taking the Saints.
Great. I will take the Packers, but that's definitely heart ruling head.
I'm excited to watch this game because I want to see what we get from Brett Hundley with a week of practice with the firsts, because he's really not taken many snaps with the first over the recent seasons. And I've got to say, Brett Hundley is... everyone is talking about what he's going to offer them. Everyone's saying this, that, and the other. I haven't seen anywhere near enough of him to be able to judge him. So I'm excited to see what he can do. Right, 3 9 o'clock kickoffs. Let's get to them because we are closing in on that hour mark yet again.
Let's go.
Seahawks, Giants. Two teams with the worst offensive lines in the NFL. Two teams with great pass rush. I think this game is going to finish 9-3 to the Seahawks. I don't think we're going to see a single offensive touchdown. It's going to be all field goals.
Oh my goodness, that's so bleak. And at the beginning of the year, lots of people were tipping this as being the NFC Championship game, and it's Seahawks Giants, two teams which really haven't impressed in any way.
Hey, all those people planning to start Orleans Darkwater after his big game last weekend, don't get too excited. I'm sorry to be so negative about it.
I cannot argue with
that. This is not a game I'm excited about, I'm afraid. But they were really good against the Broncos last weekend.
They were.
On the right side of the line, Justin Pugh and DJ Fluka looked really good.
Which is weird, because they bottled up Von Miller.
Maybe the Giants will win. I'd love the Giants to win, the Seahawks.
Seahawks
go
3-3.
No, Giants, is it MetLife? Seahawks are 4-point favourites.
I think the Giants might win.
I'm going to take the Giants. Why not? Let's have some fun.
I'm going to take the Seahawks.
We'll let Matt Sherry establish a bigger lead in the running over us. Chargers Broncos. This is a really intriguing game in LA. Broncos, although that really doesn't mean anything, Broncos are just 1-point favourites. But the Broncos coming off that horrible loss against the Giants. The Broncos are a much worse road team than they are a home team. And they're coming up against a Chargers team who have won two on the bounce and managed to win a game in the fourth quarter when they were behind last weekend. There's some positivities.
There is. Simeon looked like the player that
thought he was last year.
That I thought he was last year. Which is worrying. They couldn't really get much going on the ground. And they looked rather insipid on defense as well, especially that run defense. But all of that aside, they're going to Los Angeles, a place where no one turns up if you're a Chargers fan. I think the Bronco Nation, Broncos country, will turn up in force. They're on the road. Yeah, the Broncos aren't great going East Coast, but I should think their record going West Coast is far better. So I'm picking the Broncos.
I really like Melvin Gordon in this game, potentially, after the Broncos last weekend. I think he could be a surprise. You've got three of the best pass rushers in the league in this game. Melvin Ingram, 7.5 sacks on the season. Joey Bosa, 5.5. Von Miller on 5 as well. So there's some exciting stuff to see in the trenches in this game. I think the Broncos will bounce back after last week. It's a real test for Anthony Lynn as a first-year head coach. But everything we've heard about him is that he is a man motivator.
I'm
going to take the Broncos as well.
I'm Broncos.
And then we finish off on Bengals Steelers. The 2-3 Bengals traveling to Heinz Field to take on the Steelers, who lead the AFC North and coming off a huge win against the previously undefeated Kansas City Chiefs. But the Bengals, off a bye week, time to recharge, get healthy. Started the season 0-3. They've won their last two on the bounce going into the bye week. The Bengals' life is feeling a bit more positive in the state of Ohio. Well, at least on the Cincinnati side, maybe not on the Cleveland side. Is there a thought that this is kind of the worst possible game for them to get off the back of that bye, to have to go to their fiercest division rivals and face off against the Steelers team on a high off last week?
Well, that's exactly it. The Steelers going over to Arrowhead and doing what they did, shutting them down, and then in the process getting their big guys, their main guys, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, getting those two effectively going and kick-starting their personal seasons. Then they have to face the Bengals. Now, the Bengals' defense always plays hard, and these NFC North games are always really, really tight. I think 5-point... favourites on the Steelers are over the Bengals. I suppose that's maybe a little... maybe that seems about right, because the Bengals will either be really close or they'll implode badly if they lose. So...
The Cincinnati defense has actually had a really good history against the Steelers and their run offense in particular. They're really good at shutting Le'Veon Bell down. It's something they've done in a couple of games in a big way. He is starting to look really good after being handed the ball a lot the last 2 weeks. On the other side, the Bengals run offense. I mean, Bill Lazor's come in and really managed to hoist them back up onto their feet and get them firing again. But the run offense is terrible. Joe Mixon is the only Bengals player with over 100 rushing yards total through the first five games of the season. And he stands at just 187 yards, a paltry 37.4 yards per contest. While the Steelers' rush defense has allowed up a lot of yards. And yes, they've had to go up against the likes of Kareem Hunt and stuff, but having had a really terrible first 5 weeks of run defense, they completely stuffed Kareem Hunt last week.
Yeah.
9 rushes, 21 carries. So are the Steelers getting healthy in just the right area? Are the Bengals struggling there? That's a really interesting battle for me. Oh, there's a little part of me that wants to take the Bengals on the road here. I feel like I'm having a real bold week, and I don't know if that's just because I'm a little bit hungover and a little bit tired and a little bit like, yeah, why not? Let's do it. I'm going to say the Bengals. Right, Bengals in an upset.
You're an idiot. I'm taking the Steelers. They have ridden out.
I think I have taken the Steelers on the Pick'em game, but do I have to change that now that I've said something different?
No, just leave it. No one takes any notice of us and our picks today. No.
We nearly missed a game, by the way. I said this was the last game. I completely missed the Cowboys 49ers game.
Your own team. You missed your own team playing. Wow.
Well, what I do is I open all of the games in an individual tab when we first go through so that I can have the injury reports and stuff in front of me. And I just must have not pressed on the 49ers game.
Where is the 49ers? Oh, there it is.
So we still have to talk about that.
Dallas had their training camp over in California, didn't they? Pre-season.
They do, I think, as a pretty regular thing.
Yeah, so you know they're not unaccustomed to going out West Coast. San Francisco, okay, there's that amazing stat that everybody's floating about 33 points, the amount of the difference, the lowest amount of any team that started 0-6 or whatever. But are they any good, or have they just been playing bad teams? I don't know.
This is a historic, great, all-time rivalry that's offered up NFC title games, that's offered up Super Bowls being exchanged left, right, and center during that period of glory for both of these teams. These are two teams who traditionally hate each other.
Yeah.
Their renewed rivalry, if you include the postseason, 17-17-1. This is a great all-time game that's kind of slightly ruined by at least one of these teams being bad, and maybe both of them. The Zeke Elliott back on the field is a big deal, and particularly with the 49ers having let Navarro Bowman go last week, and he looked great for the Raiders against the Chiefs, by the way. Had a really good game. Might be just the right thing that the Raiders needed. Reuben Foster was limited all week. Ray Armstrong's been brilliant for the 49ers at linebacker, but I think Zeke Elliott could have a lot of fun in San Francisco. And then we've got the CJ Bethard factor. Yes, he came in against Washington and had a really nice, while he was on the field, we outscored them 24-9, and his accuracy looks a little off, but he's another guy with a week of firsts. That'll be an interesting battle to see, but I think that what we're going to look for here is the 49ers to lose by 3 or less points again.
I think it'll be more. Sean Lee's back. And
is he actually back?
Well, the injury report says that it was full practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Sean Lee's back.
And I think that's a huge, huge pendulum swing, if you like, from it being a less than 3-point win than more than a 10-point win.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys for me.
Oh, dear. Right, that's everything. A nice tight hour. Good work, Ollie. I'll be at the game tomorrow, so if anyone sees me in my little freezing cold commentary position. My wife will be there as well, as will our friend Adam, having a wonderful day out. If anyone sees, come over, say hello, let's have a chat, let's talk some football. I'm always find it fun doing that. Felt really bad that when we were at Jags practice, there were a couple of guys like chatting to me, but I had to rush off and do an interview. And then one of them tweeted this week saying, "Oh, I met Will at the Jags practice." And I'm like, "I'm really sorry that I'd love to, like, it's a real rarity that anything like that has happened, but when it does, it's really lovely to just chat football with people that isn't you."
Hey.
I mean that with all the love in the world, but I talk football with you every week.
Yeah, that's true.
At least three or four times a week.
That's very true.
And that's just in a professional capacity.
Yeah.
Then there's all the times we talk about it outside of that as well. Yeah. I will see you when I get back to the studio tomorrow.
Okay.
Have fun with Nat and Mike and the team.
Oh, I always do.
And I look forward to seeing people at Twickenham, and then I'll be back for the late game and then Falcons Patriots on Talk Sports. So another good weekend, and we'll be back on Monday or Tuesday with another show.
It just goes on, doesn't it? Just keep
it
on.
It really does.
We keep on trucking. We love it.
It really does. Right, touchdowntrips.com. Go there for your travel needs. They are the best. Ben Mortimer is the best. So get in touch with those guys if you are planning to do any travel, and go out and see a game in the States, because it is the absolute best. Thank you very much for listening. Check us out on Skype and all the other usual places. Skype? Why did I say Skype? It's because I've got Skype open in front of me. Twitter and all the other usual places. I get in trouble with Josh, so don't mention the Instagram. At UK Gridiron on Instagram. Find us there as well. Ollie, any final thoughts?
Yeah, on touchdown trips. A guy that I went on the trip with the other company last year, he reached
they
out.
They who shall not be named.
Yeah. Jason, he reached out to me on Twitter. He told me about this incredible site which tells you what teams are wearing which uniforms each week, which is, it's incredible. I love it. That's how we know that the Chargers are in their powder blue uniforms against the Broncos tomorrow or later today.
Oh, big fan of that.
Yes, so that's great. But he said that he'd just come back from a trip to Oakland to see his Raiders. He's a Raiders fan, with touchdown trips, and had a great time. So people, there are people out there that do go, that are listeners that do go on these trips, and you, honestly, it's such good value, and you have the best time. And he's a repeat offender. That's his third or fourth time going. So well done, Jason.
Beautiful stuff. Thank you very much for listening. At Gridiron on Twitter, this has been The Gridiron Show. Hooray!
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.